Last week, Pastor Brian Grant began tonight's message with the amusing story of a man keeping his own score. The point being that in God's economy, no one gets to keep his or her own score. At the judgment seat of Christ, his opinion is the only one that counts. Thus, as Pastor Grant went on to develop his message, we learn that the only walk that meets the test of that worthy walk the Apostle Paul urges upon all believers in Ephesians 4:1 lists among its required ingredients is that we walk in wisdom. Pastor Grant showed how the same letter to the Ephesians describes walking in wisdom is a walk that redeems the time. It is a walk that pursues God's will for that believer's life before all else. In the concluding part of this message tonight, Pastor Grant will continue in that theme. So we invite you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 and listen with us as Pastor Grant concludes his message, Walk in Wisdom. Here again is Pastor Grant.
What God is saying is that if I really want to discover His will, I need to start walking in His plan. Every day, as I take a step of obedience, I discover something else. But if I'm not willing to obey God in the things He's telling me to do right now, don't be shocked He don't tell you nothing else. Are you with me? Because you're just building, compounding sin upon sin. If God tells you to do something, to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So if God keeps telling you stuff and you refuse to do it, you're just compounding sin upon sin. So listen, if you're not obeying God with what he's already told you, you'll never find out God's will. The person who is serious about discovering God's will for them, number one, it's a person who has this desire to perform God's will. God, I want to know your will so I can do it. But second, it's a person who is obeying God right now. An old woman used to travel across the countryside. This was the days before navigation system. She would travel across the countryside selling sewing supplies. And you know, when she would come to a crossroads, since she didn't have ways, and she wouldn't know whether she should go to the left or the right, she would take a stick and she tossed the stick in the air, and whichever direction the stick fell, pointed to, she would take that direction. So here she's at the crossroad, she'd throw the stick in the air. If it points over here, she's going to go left. If it goes here, she's going to go right. But one day they noticed this little lady. She was throwing the stick into the air constantly. She kept tossing the stick up. So somebody went to her and they said, "What's going on? Why are you constantly tossing the stick in the air?" She said, "Every time I toss it in the air, it points to the left. And I want to go to the right." And so she kept tossing the stick until finally it pointed to the right. He said, "Pastor, that's one of the most silly illustrations you've ever given." But did you get it? Because every day Christians are doing that. We're tossing the stick to see if God is going to agree with our plan. So far, he hasn't agreed. But you're determined to do your plan. Your plan is not going to work. Stop. You say, "How dare you tell me that my plan won't work?" I'm saying it on the authority of God's word. Your plan cannot work because God has a plan for you. So keep on doing like Saul. Keep kicking your foot against the goads. Keep kicking. See how successful that's going to be. See if at the end of your life, you're going to hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But this morning, God is saying to you, if we walk in wisdom, we're going to come to him and say, "God, not my way. God, Lord, what will you have me to do? God is anxious to help you know his plan. But to get started, have that passionate desire. But second, be determined to obey him. Amen. What have we said so far? So far, we have said to walk in wisdom, we must redeem the time. And secondly, to walk in wisdom, we must discover God's will. But finally, to walk in wisdom, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look with me at Ephesians 5, verse number 18. And do not be what? Drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Why do most people go to alcohol? Do you know most people go to alcohol because they're seeking a happy hour? That's why the restaurants, everybody advertises. What do they advertise? Happy hour. It's not quite happy, but the whole idea is that if I drink a little, if I'm frustrated, if I am stressed out, if I'm disappointed, if I'm discouraged, if I drink a little alcohol, let me see if they have any here. It's just water. If I drink a little, I'll get happy. I tell you, there's nothing like that. Because my friend, I found there's no satisfaction. We used to sing a song when I was a teenager. There is no satisfaction without salvation. S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. Anybody ever heard that song? Hallelujah. There is no satisfaction. I'm glad a couple of sons know that one. And how true that is. There is no satisfaction without salvation. And this morning, if you're here, you know, I believe there's somebody here, perhaps an older person or young person, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not saved. I want you to know you can go to as many happy hours as you want to. You ain't going to find satisfaction without salvation. But this morning you can find satisfaction in Jesus. Amen. This morning you could come to the cross and say, Lord Jesus, save me. And hallelujah, you will begin on the road. You know, we've probably all seen people under the influence of alcohol, because and alcohol controls you. In fact, when you're under the control of alcohol, you're usually out of control. I know there's some of you who probably, you know what I'm talking about. You've been there before in your BC days. My wife and I, we were in Mexico some years ago with a group of American businessmen. And an insurance company had invited us, and they were paying the bill for the food and the wine. And, you know, I found that when alcohol is being free, people drink a lot. Have you ever noticed that? So they were drinking and drinking. And drinking. And then all of a sudden, two men jumped up. And they started skipping around the restaurant, singing and skipping around the restaurant. I was trying to hold my head down, but I couldn't fully hold my head. This was too interesting. And then they went to the window. And they jumped through the window of the restaurant and they ran outside. And then they came back to the window and they jumped inside. And it was so embarrassing, particularly since they were Christians. I hope nobody here at GCA who claims that I've been washed in the blood. I hope those days are behind you. And my friend, if those days are not behind you, they need to be behind you. Amen? Amen? And by the way, we're more than happy to point you and to give you as much help as we can. You see, sometimes some folks worry about church. You know, they say, I better not tell anybody about my problems because all... That's not what we're about. We're about helping you. You can come and talk to us. We will point you. We will do as much to help you as we can. The church has given us elders a budget, the deacons have. We can pay, subsidize you if we cannot help you to go for counseling. So you don't have to be running. You don't have to be hiding. You don't have to keep your problem a secret forever, because God wants to bring you and help you to change. And sometimes, I wasn't going here, but since I'm here, you remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? He told the people, "Now loose him and let him go." Sometimes we need somebody to help loose us. Sometimes we get saved and we still got some grave clothes. Am I right about it? We still got some stuff hanging on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And sometimes some Christians say, "Look at that person." No, we don't need to say, "Look at anybody," amen, because by God's grace, he has rescued and loosed some of us from some stuff. But some of our brothers and sisters might still be struggling, and it is our grateful opportunity to help somebody. If I can help somebody along the way, then what? Then my living will not be in vain. Hallelujah. But listen, you see, when I am drunk with wine, when I'm under the control of wine, I draw all the attention to myself. But when I'm under the control of the Holy Spirit, the attention goes to God. God gets the glory. Amen. So what is this business about being under the control of the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit? Listen, put this in your notes. To be filled with the Spirit means to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit means to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As a boy, I loved Superman. Clark Kent wasn't any big deal. Are you right? He was a little nerdy. Didn't you think, find him a little nerdy? Probably like I was. But when he went into the telephone booth, are you with me this morning? When he went into the telephone booth and he came out, it was what? A different story. Because all of a sudden, he came out. He went in with his suit. He came out with a blue suit. Am I right about that? He came out with a red cape. And he had the big S on his chest. Oh, I hope somebody knows what I'm talking about. One Superman came out. It was another story. This was no Clark Kent. This was Superman. Nobody could stop Superman. Not even a speeding bullet. No criminals. No army could stop Superman. I loved Superman.
In a few moments, we'll hear the conclusion of today's broadcast. But first, let me invite you to visit us this Sunday for a very important series on the family being taught by Pastor Grant. This series, entitled Secrets to a Happy Home, will provide practical instruction from God's Word designed to make our homes the places of joy and blessing God intended them to be. GCA is located in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia and is truly a church for all nations. So make plans to join us this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as Pastor Grant shares with us Secrets to a Happy Home. Now let's rejoin Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's broadcast.
But you know, Superman ain't real. But the filling of the Holy Spirit is. You said, why in the world would you bring up the two? Because as I studied and prepared, I was going to give you a more technical lesson on the filling of the Spirit. But God says to leave that for another time. God says, what I want you to focus on is the dramatic change that can happen when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's good to know all the technical stuff. But sometimes we miss the unbelievable transformation that takes place when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. God can do some unbelievable stuff. This is big stuff. Being filled with the Spirit is big, big, big stuff. Because when I'm under the filled with the Spirit, I'm under the control of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can demonstrate all His power. He can demonstrate all His peace. He can demonstrate all His grace through my life when I'm under His control. My brothers and sisters, this is big stuff. No, I'm not telling you to go try and stop a speeding bullet. I'm not trying to tell you, go try and lift a train, but I'm telling you that God is giving us something here that is can revolutionize your life and transform your life and make you so impactful that it will blow your mind. He said, give me a story. So turn to Judges chapter 6. Okay, Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Oprah. There goes Oprah. Oh, you didn't know she was in the Bible. All right, I don't remember how she spells hers, but here she is. He was in Oprah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring you us up out of Egypt? But the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. I wonder if there's anybody here that can identify with Gideon. Gideon is scared. What is Gideon doing? He's hiding. Did you see that? He's hiding. He's afraid of his enemies. He is scared to death. He's hiding. And he's also sort of disappointed with God. Did you see that? What did he say to God? He said, you've forsaken us. The Lord has forsaken us. He said, and we heard about all them miracles that he did. We haven't seen no miracle. You've forsaken us. You have let us down. You ever felt that way? God, you let me down. I was struggling with this. I was struggling with that. My relative had this sickness. And God, you didn't do anything about it. You let us down. Don't worry, God is still in control. He's got a plan. But don't miss this. God sees this scared wimp. And what does God say to him? You what? Mighty man of valor. Come on now. He says, Gideon, you're Superman. Don't ever sell yourself short. Young person, older person, don't sell yourself short. God is not just looking at what you are right now. God is seeing down the road, and he can see what his Holy Spirit can do with you. He is seeing what his Holy Spirit, how his Holy Spirit can transform us when the Spirit of God is in control. Somebody needs to hear that this morning, because there's somebody here who is scared to death. God wants you to do something and you are scared to death. And God is saying to you, you are a mighty girl of valor, a mighty man of valor, a mighty woman of valor. It doesn't care where you are, how afraid you are. It doesn't care how discouraged you are. God can do some amazing things with you when his Holy Spirit has full control of your life. So what happened? Look back now at verse 33 of the same chapter 6. Then all the Midianites said, and Amalekites, the people of the east, gathered together, and they crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Hallelujah. The game changer. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. He blew the trumpet, and the Bezerites gathered behind him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also gathered behind him. He sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. What an amazing thing. This man is no longer hiding in the bush. This man is now a mighty. He's taking leadership, and people are gathering behind him. And as you read this story, keep reading it when you go home, to see how an amazing battle is going to be waged, where Gideon is going to go with just about 300 folks, and he's going to take on an army with tens of thousands of people, and God is going to give him victory with his 300 little folks. You say, he must be really Superman. No! It's the Spirit of God. And God wants us to know this morning, my brother and sister, listen, don't you sell yourself short. God can do some amazing exploits through you and I if we're willing to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit. So you say, how does this happen? If the Holy Spirit can do this, how does it happen? I want you to know something. We must put this in the notes. The Holy Spirit is a game changer. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a game changer. But we must be repeatedly filled with the Holy Spirit. We must be repeatedly filled. You see, the Greek word for filled is in the present tense. It's not a one-time event. And so the issue is, I can be filled today and not filled tomorrow. But by God's grace, I can be continuously filled, because it's all a decision of my will. It's a decision of my will. I can choose, am I going to yield to God or not? And I can yield today, and tomorrow I decide, I'm taking over. Second thing, put in your notes. We're filled with the Holy Spirit when we're yielded to His control. Did you see that? We're yielded to the Holy Spirit. We're filled with the Holy Spirit when we're yielded to His control. Here comes Romans 12:1 again. We're putting it on the screen. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. God is saying, hey, how do I get filled? I yield to God. I yield to God. I say, God, I'm all in. I'm all in. If I took a sponge and threw it into a dish of water, what would I have to do to fill that sponge with water? Really nothing. Once I dropped it in the water, it absorbed the water, right? But if I put my hand in that dish, grabbed a hold of the sponge and squeezed it, what would happen? It would no longer be full with water. My action would have squeezed the water out. But if I decide I would like it to be refilled, you know the only thing I had to do? Let go of the sponge. And the minute I let go of the sponge, it would immediately be refilled with water. To be filled with the Spirit, have this in your notes already, we need to release control of our lives to God. The tighter we hold on to our plans, our ideas, and our life, the more we squeeze out what God wants to do in us. But this morning, you can say, God, I want to know your will. God, I want to be filled with your Spirit. God, I want to redeem the time. And God, I'm all in. Father, help us now that your Spirit, as he has worked in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls today, that our hearts may say, yes, God, I want your will. I want your way. I want to see your power in my life. I want to know that every day I achieve the purpose for which you made me. Help us now.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.